What's the most common psychic question you get asked?
So let's ask everybody. I know you're going to say something. So let me just ask you, when you go to psychics, what do you think the most common thing you went to a psychic was for? Because I'm going to tell you the most common question that I literally get asked daily. I'm sure you get this question daily. Yep. It's the same. I know we have the same thing, but yours is like your version is it, but it's the same, which is, when will I find my love?
Yeah.
Will I find a relationship and be happy? And you had said
the soulmate business. Yeah. Like, when will I meet my soulmate, or where's my twin flame, or is this person my soulmate, or is this person my twin flame? And I think both of us cringe at the idea and the word soulmate and twin flame
even worse,
because it's become this obsessive, it's like a TikTok obsession, it's a fad, it's like a weight loss fad. Totally. But for love. And you know, the idea of the twin flame came from, like, I think Greco-Roman times, when there was a story about this goddess or god who, like, split themselves into two, and then there was two of them, and so that's where some of that came from. Yeah. So people like, when am I going to meet my other half?
Is she or he my twin flame?
Yeah, twin flame. And I'm like, well, first of all, you're not half of a thing walking around. You'd be walking in circles. Like, that's just stupid. Like, oh, where's my other half? Because I can't walk in a straight line until I have my other half. You're a complete being. You're whole. You are exactly what you're supposed to be. You're not half of a thing. And I think people want to latch onto the idea of, like, there's a fix for my suffering in this world and in this reality. And that fix is the perfect relationship with the perfect qualities and providing me the perfect experience. And that will be my cure to suffering on earth. Yeah. So when will I meet my soulmate?
So
I can be happy and I don't suffer. And I'm just like, quit the bullshit. You're here. You're still going to have to wipe your ass with your soulmate in the picture. You're still going to have to deal with, like, you know, giving birth and, like, a child coming through your vagina causing all this massive pain when you're ready to give birth. You know, you're going to experience human suffering, and nothing is going to cure you or keep you from that. So the idea that someone's going to fix my life and make it 100% better is ridiculous. Granted, there are opportunities for us to connect and to build bonds with individuals. And some of us have such profound, deep bonds on a spiritual level that there's more than just, hey, we just met. And like, I consider my mama cat my soulmate, because, you know, she's a part of me. She's always a part of me. And there's something there that just feels like it's different. So the idea of soulmates, I believe, has been very misunderstood. Yeah. And when it comes down to it, it's the idea that there's a profound connection with another being in some way, shape, or form, but it isn't always romantic. And it's actually a rare thing that people don't experience very often. Most people will have a relationship with either someone who they've got a karmic tie to and a connection to that they've got to work some bullshit with, which usually don't last. Or there's a kindred spirit, someone that they've had lifetimes with, that they've engaged and they've agreed to have these experiences with each other. But it doesn't always have to be romantic. It can be a father and their child. It can be, you know, twins. Twins are usually the most common, identical twins are the most common, like, versions of soulmates that you can find, because that's the same soul that's kind of split itself into two beings in one life. But it's still individuals of each other. So the connection. But it doesn't always have to be the romantic thing. So for me, it's like, no, like, quit the bullshit with the soulmate thing. Most people aren't going to have it. 99% of people aren't going to experience a soulmate connection. So are you asking me about a future relationship and one that's going to last and be based in, like, real love and genuine connection and healthy love? In essence, most relationships are not healthy.
I agree. This is great. We have some other ones that are chiming in, and I have to say, yeah, you're right. I do get these questions a lot too. This one, Stopher, is saying, am I on the correct path? What am I here to do? I get that question more than any. So, yeah, dude, I'm with you. Am I in the right path? Like, it's the thing for me with the psychic questions is, and I'm sure you feel the same. I think Fernie and I already talked about this, but it's the question underneath the question. So the question underneath that is, am I valid in this world? Or the right? And the question underneath the am I going to find my soulmate is, will I be alone? And the question underneath that is, am I always going to feel fear about this? Or will I always feel sad and lonely and desperate? So really, it turns into, if you look underneath the layers of what that actual question is and you read the vibration of what they're actually asking, you get to the, you can identify what it is that they actually need to work on. And so I always try to slip that in there, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm always successful or not. My question always asked that I always get asked is my mom still with me? That's a really common one. Here's another one. I see people all the time ask, is so-and-so cheating on me? Mm-hmm. And then she's saying, and if so, then yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, it's like with the soulmate thing that people ask, like, is this person my soulmate? Well, if you have to ask the question, obviously they're not, because if you are experiencing a soulmate connection, there isn't a doubt in your mind that this person is something beyond normal.
You're not jumping on TikTok.
You're not jumping on TikTok asking. You're like,
random psychic.
Is this person who's treating me like shit? They've left me 5 times. They slapped me across the face.
Is he my soulmate?
They cheated on me. Are they my soulmate? Because I feel really crazy about them. I'm like, no, they're not your soulmate. And you're really bad at making decisions about relationships. And you probably have bad examples. So fix your shit and make better decisions.
And don't put it on a psychic.
Don't put it on a psychic.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, come on. There's only so much we can do here.
People always ask, you know, what should I do?
Yes.
That is the number one question I get. What should I do?
Me too.
And I'm just like, I'm not here to tell you what you should do. I ain't got nobody telling me what to do and giving me a bailout to all of the decisions of being human and being an adult that I have to make in my life. Like, no one's going to give me the easy answer.
Yeah.
I have to make those decisions based on experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might ask people that I trust or whose opinion I value what they believe or what they think about the situation, but I'm not going to ask somebody who is not living my life what I should do, because at that point I'm giving up my power and I'm only responsible for the outcome and the fallout of that if it doesn't go my way.
Absolutely.
So it's like, don't ask me what to do. I don't get to ask somebody what to do, but what do I sense?
That'd
Which
be nice.
Is really our job. What do we sense about
the
a situation?
Probable outcomes.
Yeah.
We're
what is the probable,
probable
outcome? What are
outcomes,
we sensing?
Yeah.
And that's my job. So what can a client do to get a good reading?
So getting a good reading, I think people don't recognize that your energy is going to affect your reading. Like, what you bring to this table here is absolutely going to affect your reading. So if it's mediumship, this can be a complication. If you're in really deep grief and you haven't processed that, it may not actually be the time for you to go seek out a medium, because they can't bring that person back. And it may be that anything that that medium says, it just isn't enough to heal the soul. So there's that aspect that we deal with all the time. But also, if your energy is wanting a code word or wanting to hear a specific piece of evidence or needing a name or these things that you're reaching for. And it's really what that energy is, a pushing energy. It's a push. You're pushing for something and you're trying to make something happen through a medium. And that energy of trying to control someone is absolutely not going to go the way that you want it to.
Right.
Because it's going to F with the medium, their energy, because they're not free to give you the information that they're actually getting from their spirit people. So
yeah,
you're absolutely affecting it. And the best thing you can possibly do is have a positive outlook and just say, I'm open to receive whatever it is that comes to me today.
Yeah. Well, and this is all in, I mean, communicating with spirits, it's like, reminds me of I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday because they are planning on going to San Salvador to get some Botox done because it's way cheaper down there. And
you have to fly.
Yeah. And he's like, I need to get someone who can speak Spanish. And I'm just like, okay, well, like, how are you going to maneuver? And he speaks some Spanish, but it's nowhere near to the level of like someone who's like fluent in it. And so speaking with the spirit is like speaking a different language, except the language is not built in words. It's built in thoughts, emotions, and memories and signs and symbols. So it's all coded. And you know, it's a language that is natural for us by default. It's what the Egyptians used in hieroglyphics. Those weren't just pictures that represented a word. They represented meaning and understanding, and it was three-dimensional. So the language of spirit is very complex because they're not just sharing a two-dimensional understanding about something. They're giving us an immersive understanding about their experience in life. And words aren't always adequate. So when I'm communicating with a spirit, I expect to understand a chunk of it, but there's a whole lot that is going by so fast and there's so much information coming through that pieces are just going by. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch that because I'm just trying to hold on to this one piece and figure out what that means.
Yeah.
And then someone will say, oh, well, it's such and such. I'm like, damn it. I saw that piece go by earlier when I was just thinking about it, but I didn't catch that because I was focused on the piece that I was trying to figure out right now. So there's a lot that you're going to miss because it's like, it's a very complex form of communication and it takes practice. But at the same time, it is something that with time and with practice, you get better at But like when it comes to code words, and I'm not saying people shouldn't go in with the expectation, hey, if you come through, can you please like stay say starshine. Starshine is a code word. If you say starshine, I know that it's you. And so they come to me for the session. And during the session, I'm like, and then I start having a memory play out of me outside with my telescope, looking at a star and then like, wow, why is there such a halo around the star? And having the memory of that. And then I start to say, did y'all purchase a star or did you have a star? Like, did you have a star put on a necklace for this person? Cause people have done that sometimes. No. I'm like, oh, okay. And then later on, they're like, well, I was waiting for the code word and I never heard it. I'm like, what's the code word? Oh, it was starshine. And I'm like,
well, here's the other thing. When you got the code word, we can pick this up psychically.
Yeah.
So if you come in and your aura is like starshine, 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 or if it's an easier one, like Valentine or whatever, then we can pick that up psychically too. So it's not always, to me, it's not always evidence.
Yeah.
Because you walked in with your, like in my aura says this word.
Yeah.
And if you're so needy of it, like, first of all, that's going to shut it down. But if you're not needy and you're saying that a million times, well, okay, then that's not really, we could just pick it up psychically. Yeah. You know, we are psychic. So we have to be careful of that stuff.
Yeah.
I love it when it comes out and they didn't really expect it, although it was something they had talked about. Like, that's where they're like, whoa, that's amazing. And that's how it does come out, is because you're not expecting, you're not pushing, you don't have pushing energy to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I think really coming in with an open mind and open heart, having realistic expectations that this is a human being who is interpreting another language that hasn't been properly put down on paper for everybody to understand.
Yeah.
So they've had to figure this out on their own.
Yeah.
And knowing that your information is only going to be as accurate as the medium who came, who has learned how to interpret that data, because it really is a process. And also realizing that that person might misinterpret the information, but the information may still come through. You just didn't realize that that's what they were communicating across.
Exactly.
And on top of that, just having the knowing that your loved ones want to communicate, they want to talk to you. It's not that they don't want to or that they didn't show up. It's just, I mean, time management wise, that medium is only got so much charge to be able to hold on to those connections for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's like a fish out of water. It's not like they can maintain that level of engagement with the brain and our minds consistently for too long, because they no longer are based in a physical body. They've ascended into an energetic spectrum of being that no longer aligns with physicality.
Right.
So it is a fish out of water when we connect with them. They're out of water for a moment, out of the natural state of being. And we are pushing ourselves to amplify and vibrate with an energy that is beyond what our bodies are used to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So it's extra for us, which is why we're so exhausted after readings and we have so much drain and it is burning. We burn out. We suffer from burnout a lot with this work. And so it's a lot. So to expect us to go on for 2-3 hours, like, it's not going to happen. Like, this is why I limit my sessions to 45 minutes, maybe an hour max with one person. Cause
me too.
There's just no way. There's no way my body's going to keep up with that. Mm-mm. And I even limit the amount of mediumship sessions I do in one day, because it's just like, nope, I can't do it.
Me too.
It's like, I'm going to crash and burn, baby. I'm going to crash and burn.
Absolutely.
What makes evidential based mediumship so important?
Sorry, I just got another question here. What makes evidential-based mediumship so important is, well, we kind of actually went over this a while ago, which is I need to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have a person coming forward for you that I cannot know the information. To me, that is so important. It's important because it's ethical. It proves the existence of the soul that lives on for literally ever. And if you can prove that to me, I will change my mind. I will change the way that I behave in this world. I hope you do. Mm. And I will have a deeper understanding of how to heal, because I'm not just lost without nothing, with nothing. So to me, we need to be backing up everything that we say by backing it up with evidence. We need to say, I've got your mom here. I know she's passed in this way. I understand this. Can you take this? And it's not something that I'm sitting here Googling. I mean, you can see me on my lives. You can see Fernie. We're not sitting here Googling and saying, hold a minute.
Let me
just see.
Yeah. You know, well, I do Google sometimes to find the explanation for what I'm sensing medically, because I'm like, what is that?
Well, that's fine.
I got to look up the medical like terminology, because I don't know the medical stuff. But yeah, so I will do that sometimes. But it's not like how are you going to look somebody up that fast?
You can't look somebody up. And plus, these live readings, that to me is like, there's the proof in the pudding, because we don't know. Half of you guys don't even have a picture on your account, or you have like the weirdest name we've ever seen. Like, it's like the dog's Fern around the corner, you know, or whatever.
Or Harry Bush whack.
So we don't, there's no way, but that's to me, it's so ethically important.
Yeah.
It's so ethical.
Well, it's like, and for me, I am exhausted all the time because of this work. Yeah. I ain't trying to do something extra. Looking somebody up and trying to like get dirt on them online, that's a lot of extra work. Like, I can barely muster enough energy to keep up with like my basic workload and my appointments, you know? And so I'm not going to spend hours doing all of this like investigative work with this person and like their loved ones and stuff. So it's like, no, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Even financially, it's not worth it. Like, there's no way I would make enough money to even spend my time doing that stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's not feasible. Not cool. That's like, no, that's like, I try to work smarter, not harder. And that doesn't mean like spending hours doing research. I'd rather just be in better watching Star Trek. No. Is it an evidential based medium is, you know, a piece of information, an accurate piece of information and detail that cannot be invalidated and is specific to the spirit coming through. Yes. You know, if you say, oh, well, your father loves you, he's proud of you and he's with you, that's a nice message. And they do bring through messages like that
because
they're backed by other pieces. And it's the pieces that are detailed and accurate. Those are the kickers, because, oh, and by the way, he also keeps talking about the weird mold under his armpit is gone. And they're like, oh my God, he was obsessive about that mold. I'm like, oh, I don't have a mold under my armpit that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
So I can't relate to that. But that's something that person, it's like one time on a live, the lady that I was reading for, I think it was her grandfather came through and said that he was showing me shaking hands with like John F. Kennedy in my mind. And I was like, huh. I was like, he's talking about meeting John F. Kennedy and like getting a chance to shake his hand. And she's like, yeah, he did meet John F. Kennedy and got a chance to shake his hand. And like, so she was able to validate that I didn't shake John F. Kennedy's hand.
Yeah.
Do you know somebody who shook his hand? Like,
right.
And that's not a common experience. No. So when you get those little pieces and skeptics come back and say, oh, well, you know, they're throwing out cold, this is a cold reading, they're throwing out lines, and what I say to people is like, maybe, but no, not really, because if you ever watch me do a reading and I say something to the person and I'm like, hey, like, I'm getting the number 13, so there's like a birthday, death date, anniversary date connected to that person, and they're like, no, I don't know anybody with 13th. I'm like, well, and when they start laughing in my mind, I'm like, they're laughing, which means no, you're wrong, they're right. Yeah. There is something, and I stick to it, and I'm like, no, there is a 13. It's like, and they're like, no. And I'm like, that's okay. And I come back to it. It's like, if I were doing a cold reading by default, I should automatically change my answer. And I should say, oh, no. It's, and then go with something else and completely distance myself from that piece of information that I was wrong about.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, no, there is a 13th. And I'm like aggressively like attacking that person with that 13th.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was our anniversary. How could you forget your damn anniversary? Because people forget shit. In the moment, you forget shit all the time. And people don't realize things that in the moment, it just like slips their memory. And so when I'm still insistent on something that they say no to, I always say no to me means I don't understand or I don't remember. No does not mean, Fernie, you're wrong.
That's right.
No to me means I don't understand or I don't remember.
Yes.
That's okay. I'm going to keep trying it. I'm going to redeliver it in a different way. I'll ask them for clarity if they can maybe clarify it a little bit more.
Yes.
And if not, I'm going to leave that with you. Come back and tell me what you found because
apologize
I need to know.
Apologize later.
Yeah. Yeah. Can psychic mediums be wrong?
Yes.
100%.
Yes, we can. We can misinterpret information.
Yeah. And it's like, and this is what I was telling a friend of mine. I said, psychics and mediums, this is the only industry that I know of that exists where 100% accuracy of the work and quality of the work is expected. And if you don't deliver 100% accuracy, you're not doing it. And I said, how would that be if we went to a hospital and we said to the doctor, you have 100%, you have to cure me and solve this issue 100%. If you don't do it, you're not a doctor. If you don't win this case for me, you're not an attorney. If you don't get the weather exactly right, you're not a meteorologist. This is the only industry where we are held to such an unrealistic standard of operating that if we don't do it 100% perfectly, we're not doing it. And I'm like, what bullshit is that?
I'll tell you what it is. It's television. Television is the bullshit.
Well, the editing.
Because if, you know, I know I work for the foundation that was Forever Family Foundation was filmed on Surviving Death, that docuseries. Mm. And the owner was telling me that for the 8 minutes that they're shown on that film, they did 38 hours of filming. So, you know, listen, I mean, they're taking the best moments, they're clipping them, they're putting together, they're taking the wow and they're putting it in the shows. And I'm not going to say which shows they are, but I'm sure you can figure these out because that's what, and then the expectation is you should never get a no. And also the expectation is that person is just sitting next to me. I mean, that'd be fabulous if I was like,
Is
that where you're, that's not how it's working.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. That show, right. Like, I mean, made me cry. Good show. Jennifer Love Hewitt, great, you know. But I was like, I would watch that show and I'm like, that is such bullshit. If they talk to me like that, and she's repeating verbatim what they're saying, I'm like, bitch, get the fuck out of here. Like, that is not how this works. Now, if you watch Medium, that's a lot more like what it's like because she's confused for like a large part of that episode until the very end. She's like, I get it now because she's pretty much, it's all pieces that have to come together that she has to figure out what they mean or because she's having an experience that's immersive and it's not this like conversation where someone's exactly saying what needs to be said and there's no mistake as to what they're being. And people who come and they say, well, I get it right every single time. I'm like, I don't see you featured anywhere. I don't see you showing your track record. I don't see you showing evidence or proof that that's what you can do. You just said that because that's your ego and you want some attention. Yeah.
Give me the evidence.
What is it important to connect and build trust with the psychic medium?
Absolutely. Every single one of us, and those of you who are with us tonight, you understand that the way that you are receiving information is yours, uniquely yours. Your personality is uniquely yours. And Fernie and I are both psychic mediums, and we provide evidential mediumship, but we're so different in the way that we provide our information. And our personality is coming through that. And I'm always saying, you know, it's don't just go for the one that's getting a lot of yeses. Go for the one that you feel connected to, that you're like, I trust this person. This person makes me feel comfortable, because you want to be with a medium that makes you feel comfortable because your reading's going to be better.
Yeah.
So you love that person. Okay, awesome. Then please, by all means, go to that person. Yeah. I am certainly not here to say you should only go to me. That's ridiculous. Yeah. We're all so different. And the way that we are gathering and relaying our information is uniquely us. And we need to just really remember that when we're watching mediums. You got to see the evidence. They've got to back that up. They need to prove that to you. But beyond that, choose the one that you really feel comfortable with because it's vulnerable.
Yeah,
we're in vulnerable positions when we're getting readings, you know?
Yeah.
It can be scary to people.
I got comfortable, you know, when I first started doing this work, I would watch other mediums and psychics and I would be like, I've got to be like them and I've got to be like professional and I've got to always be like super sweet, super kind and like this like overly like nice, polite person. And then 2020 changed that for me because 2020 put us through a whole bunch of shit, you know, politically, emotionally, mentally, like health-wise, like everything was just like crazy. And that year forced me to like reassess how I wanted to be in this world.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to be the most accurate version of myself or if I wanted to be this copy of something that I thought I was supposed to be. And it changed. And I started to like become a different version of myself. And in the process, I started allowing myself to go into states of emotionality and of awareness that some people would say, oh, well, Fernie, you're really dark or you're negative. I'm like, why? Because that spirit just came through and he told his ex-wife that she can go fuck herself when the daughter told me that's my dad. Because his wife said after he was, you know, after he died, I hope he rots in hell. And he showed up and said, hey, tell her I'm in heaven and she can go fuck herself. Like, that's a really incredible opportunity to validate a real personality, someone who lived and existed in this reality as a person. Granted, it's not like in a heavenly state, we're walking around having these like darker states of mindset as a human being. That is a human perspective. And when I'm connecting with them, they are coming and showing up as themselves, as the person that we knew them as. And so some part of them might have been a darker personality. They might have been an asshole. They might have, you know, been someone who I really wouldn't care to be around in person if I knew them in reality. But that is a part of who they were in life. And if I'm not willing to be comfortable with experiencing that aspect of human nature and being darker or allowing this other part of the persona that is not a part of my natural being to come through, then I'm not honoring that spirit and who they really were in their life. So I have to be at peace and be okay with letting myself go through these like emotional waves of being, whether it was like this lighthearted personality, someone who was super funny, or someone who was a fucking dick and asshole who treated everybody like shit, but needs to come through and say, hey, I'm so fucking sorry that I was an asshole. I was broken in my head. Ah, okay. But it's important because that person's healing needs to be, that journey of healing needs to be honored in the most accurate and authentic way possible. And sometimes that requires us to honor the human experience of suffering and who that person was in their life. Yeah. So, and I think people who come to me, they trust that. Right? Yeah. And people who come to me, they trust that I'm going to do that and honor that. And I'm not just going to be this like goody two shoes, like, oh, your loved one's with you and they're in a better space and they're light and they're love and they are, you know, and I'm like, that was not who they were. That is not, who was that? Because you just made up a general person that could apply to every person in spirit. And you're just like giving a generalized version of a spirit because they're in a higher state.
Yeah.
But who were they?
Yeah. Well, what I always say is, listen, they've definitely evolved. I mean, they're not in pain anymore. They're not assholes anymore, all that stuff. But they absolutely need to provide evidence that that is who you're speaking with. And so if this is a love and light person coming through and it's that dude that was not love and light, well, there's no evidence in that. That doesn't prove anything to the woman. But if you're saying, no, this is how he's providing evidence and she's like, yep, totally him.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So the spirit is still the spirit. Yes, they've evolved. Yes, they're moving. They're evolving in different levels. I mean, some are pretty low level and they got to go a little bit higher. Yeah. Somebody pretty high level and they, you know, but it's still, we need to get that evidence moving forward and we need to stop trying to fit ourselves as psychic mediums. And I can see several are on here that have joined us that I know, my psychic mediums that follow me. And you know, this is trying to put yourself in a box and say, well, I need to be like, you know, whoever your mentor was or whoever your, you know, greatest idol is. It's not true. You're not going to be that person. If the more you try, the worse you're going to be.
Yeah.
The more you're you. And if you tend to do love and light readings, that's great. It fits for you. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, if you're more blunt or you're funny or whatever, like just shine that stuff, like shine like the sun, because that's how you're going to get the best readings anyways. Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever have spirits that pass away that are mad and angry? No, I've not experienced that.
Yeah. You know, there's a lack of that evidence that I've had where I've not had spirits come through. Actually, never in all of the readings that I've done and thousands of readings that I've done at this point has a spirit come through and said, I'm stuck or I'm in purgatory or I'm in a dark place and I'm not loved or surrounded by love. Like everybody, even the people who were darker in life come through and say,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. and so some guys have said, you know, showed up and said, I was greeted with love and I didn't think I deserved it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like it really hits home there because a lot of us have made mistakes in our lives. A lot of us have done things that we're not proud of. And if we don't learn from them and we keep repeating those mistakes, you know, even at the end of your life, there's still love for you. There's still acceptance for you. We're still a human. We're still a spiritual community that is based in love and connectivity and in source. And that's all that I've found. I've never found, even in one instance, there was a serial killer who came through.
Mm-hmm, I had that too.
And acknowledged the names of the victims that he took in life, which his daughter was able to validate. And he acknowledged that he was broken in his head and did not realize what he was doing. And that now his daughter's work is to help him heal the families of those who were affected and to do that on behalf of the victims. Because again, that was a part of the legacy of what she's taking on. And I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. I'm like, and like the icky feeling that I had when I was connecting with this person was just like, ugh, like you were a bad person. But then there's this other version of them that revealed after they expressed all of these details. And I got to see the version of them that they realized they really were beyond the facade of who they thought they were in life. Mm-hmm. And that persona, the broken mind that they suffered from, was no longer a part of who they were.
Right.
It was just a part of who
the true soul, exactly. Right?
Exactly.
How are you guys able to describe the physical traits on earth from spirit? I don't know what that means. Do you?
Like the personality? Well, like a spirit is a personality. It's like a personality complex. It's like when you dial a phone number, that number has a unique number. That phone is a unique number. And so when you call that number, you're going to reach that phone.
Yeah.
When a person is they're no longer in a physical body and they go back into formless, that number gets recycled into the cloud. It's a part of a system of numbers that exists as a part of a directory. They all still exist. That unique code still exists. So it can always, you know, exist in one way or another after that, but it's a part of a system and a cloud, and it's not physical anymore. So the physicality is like, okay, what was in that specific phone's like computer system or iOS? Where's like, what were the pictures, the data? What was in the data? Yeah.
She says, no, like what they looked like. And so we see it. We see what they look like. And I always tell my students, be careful about what you're saying there, because what part of their life are you seeing?
Yeah.
You know, people are like, well, he's got gray hair. And I'm like, well, which part are we looking at here? So we need to back up. Like, you know, are we talking about right before the passing? Are we talking about what he looks like now? Are we talking about what is going on here? So we see it, but we need to... As mediums, understand what it is they're showing, what time they're showing, and where are they saying, I used to look really frail and horrible, and I know you think of me this way, but this is actually how I'm presenting now. So please stop doing that, because I can see you dwelling in this. Stop it. I don't live there, so you can't live there. Yeah. So that's how we just see it. We see it in our mind's eye. It's a mind's eye. It's not like, oh, there you are. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It'd be fabulous, wouldn't it?
But oh my God, that would be so much easier. So like I could get them to do sign language and we're set. Even if they can't talk sign language, guys, come sit we're next set. To me. Yeah.
Like I'll just,
No, they always show up for me. It's this idea. It's a representation of who they were or something about them.
Yeah.
The very first time I ever did a mediumship session for anyone, I remember the very first time I was a teenager and people were calling me up the wazoo. My mom was like, who's calling you? All these people are calling you. I'm like, I don't know. Well, I did one reading for one person and all of a sudden all these people were calling me. And this one lady called me up because she wanted to talk to her husband who had passed away. And she says, I know that you do readings, but I don't know if you do like connect with spirits. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I've never done it, but I can try. And so I did what I always did, got into my mind space. And I saw an image of my cousin Junior. And my cousin Junior, he always dressed in like Western wear and he would always wear these boots. And I remember a specific pair of boots that I was remembering in the vision was these cream colored boots with the half snakeskin boots with the half beads sticking out of them all over. So it's like really like specific types of boots. And so I asked the lady, I was like, did he like look like this? And I described my cousin. She was like, no. And I was like, huh. And I was like, why am I seeing my cousin? And the boots kept being emphasized. Like my brain kept going to those boots. And I was like, did he? And then I finally was like, did he ever dress up in Western or like in a cowboy wear? She's like, oh, all the time. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, did he have boots like this? She's like, oh yeah, I remember those boots. He had an exact pair of boots like that. And I was like, got it. And so it wasn't the face of what I was seeing with my cousin. It was other aspects to that memory that the spirit was trying to trigger to get me to say, I used to dress up in Western wear and I are like a cowboy. And I had these specific boots that were my signature boots.
Yeah.
And she was able to validate that. And that was the very first time I did like a mediumship session, but I didn't understand. Cause I thought I was supposed to see an actual vision apparition of that person. Yeah. And it wasn't what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Is it harder to read for a skeptic?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Of course it is. They're shutting the energy down. Yeah.
Well, I can read for an open-minded skeptic, somebody who is going to listen to me.
Yes.
Listen to me, not come in with, prove this is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to do. Do it. And if you don't do it the way that I expect you to do it, you're not doing it. And what I'm like, I need you to like throw those ideas out the window, because I know how my ability works. I know how the information is validated. I know how you can get the most out of the experience. Listen to my process and to what I'm going to give you. Mm-hmm. And if you can appreciate that and pay attention, you'll get your proof.
Yeah.
But just be open to me and my process. And this is part of, I'm currently working on a project right now where we might be dealing with some scientists for some episodes and series. And what I was trying to explain to my friend was the idea that when it comes to dealing with like being scientifically like experimented on, there's a very structured way of how that would work. So like when you think of the traditional cards, one is like a square, one is like a circle, one is like a little squiggly line. And they're like, okay, what card do we have? And if I say to them what I'm seeing, and what I'm seeing in my mind is the solar system and all the planets in a circle, like going around each other and all spheres. And what I say is I'm seeing the solar system and spheres. They're like, nope, this is a circle. It's two-dimensional. You're wrong. Missed it.
Yeah, exactly.
And immediately, because you did not say exactly what it is, you are wrong. And that's the way science works. It has to be an exact wording of what the thing is. And where the problem is.
Yeah.
Is that the mind is used to communicating understanding and awareness to us. And it isn't just showing us a two-dimensional idea of reality. It is giving us an immersive experience of reality and meaning. So it's going to give us something we can relate to. And so what the brain is trying to do is show me a version of what it is that I'm sensing, but you have to be open enough to understand it is a representation of what we are sensing. It may not always be the exact thing we are sensing, what we're supposed to be sensing. So that's where science falls flat, because those experiments are not designed to test for correlations in the data. It's only designed to test for exacts in the data. And that's not how psychic ability works.
Yeah.
You might get something exact, but that's not how it works on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It is interpretive, and it's again, information that is way more than just a two-dimensional picture that you're supposed to sense.
Absolutely.